Yo, Nicole.
Hey, what's up?
Do you know what women want?
I think I do. What yeah. about you?
Do I know what women want?
Yeah, do you?
I absolutely have no idea what women want. I have no interest in knowing what women want.
No interest?
None.
Do you know what men want?
I know what one man wants, and it's usually because I tell him he wants it.
Okay.
Guess what, guys? It's Valentine's is over, so we're doing another rom-com, mm-hmm. which is the way it goes. And this week, we'll be covering What Women Want.
Yes.
And the new What Men Want.
Yeah, currently in theaters as of February 2019.
And spoiler alert, guys, this is Rolando.
And Nicole.
And you're listening to Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast
about unoriginality.
Let's do this.
Go.
All right. Welcome, guys. As always, we are joined by the lovely Eddie Z.
Hello.
Yeah, Eddie Z. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks by the way, I know you didn't ask, but I do know what men want and what women want.
Oh.
Growing up with five sisters, you get the idea.
You get the sense.
You get the idea.
Well, technically, like, I'm that androgynous hoe. So, like, technically, I know what both men and women want, because studies show that androgynous people actually pick up attributes of both men and women better than people who are just strictly female or strictly male in their gender aspects.
And where can one find these studies?
In our show link.
All right. Awesome. So they're going to be in our show notes, guys. So
I didn't just make this up out of my ass to make myself feel better.
I was accusing you of that. I do that. So that's
yeah, because I know what you're thinking.
Good. Eddie, I'm glad that you know what women want. But yeah. Do you know what men want?
Yeah, I just said that.
Oh, okay. What do men want? Because all my friends seem to think that all men just want one thing. Which is the main question for the movie, is just like, they just want sex, right? Like, how do you make a movie out of that? But apparently they did. So What do men want, Eddie? No? Okay. So before we get to what men want, I guess we should talk about, obviously, the 90s. I don't even know when it came out.
You mean what women want?
What women want.
All right. Well, we would go back to the year 2000.
Oh, 2000. Okay, yeah, so it's not even 90s.
What Women Want, a Nancy Meyers film.
I can't believe this is what I'll be wearing the last night I'm a virgin.
They say 2000, party over, oops, out of time. Well, they were wrong. The year 2000 came, and we're fine. We're here 19 years later. You know, mm-hmm. Y2K was a bust. So in the year 2000, that was the year, like, Gladiator won Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
I think Britney Spears had released Oops, I Did It Again that year.
That sounds about right. Yeah, because it'd be later this year and she would strip for everyone at the VMAs.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
There you go. So this was a good year for Britney.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, this solidified her as her icon status.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is still when Mel Gibson was a major movie star that nobody knew was a fucking creep and racist asshole.
Right.
So what will women want? It is directed by Nancy Meyers. Do you know who Nancy Meyers is?
I do not.
So
when do I ever know?
Yeah. So Nancy Meyers is a writer, director, and she has a great Hollywood career. After this was not the first film she directed. She first directed The Parent Trap.
Oh, with Lindsay
Lohan in 1998.
Oh, shut up. Oh my gosh. Yeah. She's like a stellar director then.
Yeah. 3 years later, she did Something's Gotta Give. And then 3 years after that, she did The Holiday.
Something that was the big Oscar contender that year,
yeah,
right?
It was
with
like a
Helen
big
Hunt.
Hit. No, that was Diane Keaton and Jack Nicholson.
Oh, okay. That's not the movie that I'm thinking about. I'm thinking of the one with Helen Hunt and Jack Nicholson.
That was As Good As It Gets. That came out in 1987.
Okay. Gotcha,
James
gotcha.
L. Brooks. But, see, this is when you want me on your movie trivia team. But she made The Holiday with Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet in 2006.
Mm.
And then she made It's Complicated in 2009 with Meryl Streep. I know a lot about Nancy Meyers also because she's my sister's like favorite filmmaker. She loves all Nancy Meyers films.
Gotcha.
But this is one of the only films that Nancy Meyers directed that she did not write, oddly enough.
Okay.
So the writers were, I mean, like The story was written up by two women, Diane Drake and Kathy Yuspa, mm-hmm. and one man, Josh Goldsmith. But the actual screenplay was written by Josh Goldsmith and Kathy Yuspa.
Okay.
And it stars Mel Gibson, Helen Hunt, Marissa Tomei, Bette Midler, really young Sarah Paulson, young Judy Greer, Alan Alda's in it. Like, it's got quite the stellar cast.
It does.
And it was a really big box office success.
Oh, was it?
It was,
I never saw it in the movie theater. I remember watching it. My parents had illegal cable. Sorry, guys. I outed you guys. But we had illegal cable. And it used to play it a lot on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So we just see that. And back in those days, pay-per-view would have like one channel dedicated to one movie and play 24/7. Uh-huh. So I remember seeing that movie a lot. I have distinct memories.
I remember seeing it too growing up.
Yeah, like it wasn't necessarily a movie that I wanted to watch. It was just on, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Delta Burke was also in this.
Who?
Delta. Every week I say a name and you look at me and go, who?
Once again, how is he gay? I don't know. Designing Women.
Designing Women. She's gay icon, a drag queen. Delta Vork is named after her. Delta Burke.
Uh-huh.
Really? No bells? Okay.
Is she the redhead?
She's one of his two assistants. She's got the big black hair. She wasn't the blonde. And like the joke is they're stupid and they don't have any thoughts for him to read and whatnot.
I see.
Really simple. You know, he's this advertisement executive. He's a chauvinistic pig.
Yes.
They make him as chauvinistic as they possibly can.
Yeah. They gave him a backstory.
They give him a little backstory. He's
a chauvinistic pig.
Because he grew up with... I mean, his childhood should have made him into a fucking serial killer. Let's be honest.
How so? You're just surrounded by beautiful women.
I mean, growing... the relationship he had with beautiful women, though, is what is the important thing to remember.
Well, they were maternal, and they loved him, and they took care of him.
Which also means that he was an entitled little fuck. So when he grew up and he realized that things weren't just going to be handed to him, he was going to take out his aggression on every single woman possible.
No, but you know what? They implied that his baby blues got him by. Apparently Mel Gibson is handsome. I don't see it.
Like, me neither.
I think he's very much a butterface. Great body. Like when he had that shirtless scene, I was just like, oh, okay.
And a nice voice.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he was the voice of Pocahontas, right? Not of Pocahontas, of
John Smith
in Pocahontas.
And he was the voice of the chicken and the rooster in Chicken Run.
Oh, I don't.
I loved Chicken Run growing up. That was my kind of like.
I don't even know that movie.
You don't know that movie?
I don't think I do.
The chicken's trying to escape?
Mm.
Oh, never mind that. It's a great movie.
Interesting.
But yeah, so he's got a great voice.
Yeah.
But
Butterface. And
a butterface. Yeah,
it's a straight up butterface.
Yeah.
Great body. Butterface is a little busted there. It's all those wrinkles, right? He has like, he just didn't take care of his face. Like, he just all these lines. They're very hard lines.
And... It's all that anti-Semitism, guys.
We
didn't know it then, but it was showing us
the effects. Back to the character, though, he, you know, I think the implication was that like he was always a smooth talker and a smooth operator. So he was always able to lay anyone he wants, so he didn't have to use any aggression ever,
just like Ted Bundy. But the point is though, he's like, they make him as vile as they possibly can so that when he one day decides to understand what women want and shaves his face and his legs and then gets electrocuted, he hears what women think. And this just opens up a brand new door for him. He goes to see his shrink, who's Bette Midler, and instead of like, you know, realizing that
she wasn't
she
was a marriage counselor.
Okay.
But essentially, I think a marriage counselor doesn't necessarily have to be a psychologist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. True. Well, I don't know. So pretty much he hears what women think, and then he uses it for his own good, but then he uses it to become a better person and to fall in love with Helen Hunt and all this shit.
I feel like he actually
better person uses, in quotation marks.
Yeah, like he uses a lot of his power. Like, of all people, Bette Midler's was like, bitch, use that shit for evil. Take over the world. Like, literally, she says, take over the world.
She does.
And then he decides, like, oh, you're right. I can fucking get ahead with it. Which is obviously, I mean, this says more about me than it does the character, but that's my first go-to. It's just like, how the hell can I use this to make money?
Yeah.
Although he's already rich.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's living in Chicago. He has this sweet apartment.
Oh, Jesus.
He's a deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
You know?
He's a loser at his boys club job.
He's not a loser at his boys club. I don't know. He was like, I guess he was like, he's not the head honcho in charge.
Yeah.
But he's definitely, you know, he has a name for himself.
Yeah, I guess in my opinion, I look at him and I think he's a loser. Yeah.
And that's the other main part of the storyline, right? That he was trying to be the creative director for this agency.
Yeah.
And he gets overlooked for Helen Hunt's character, who's supposed to be like a boss-ass bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, that first scene when we meet her and she's like owning the boardroom and stuff. And like, but it was also really bizarre. You got to know how women think. And then she gives them all this like basket of women goodies.
Yeah.
What's I thought that was actually kind of like, really? Is that how you understand?
Well,
like,
no. It's not just about the girly things. It's about those were companies that were looking for representation. So that's why she gave them to them.
Okay.
These were accounts that this agency hasn't landed in the past. So, you know, this is their opportunity. So I thought it makes sense. But yeah, I actually very much did like that boardroom scene.
You did?
Yeah, she took charge. She's like in her white suit, right? She constantly wearing white suits. Or is that my imagination?
Constantly she wore a lot of white. Yeah, she wore a lot of white, but not constantly.
Maybe just a white blouse and like a dark skirt. I think that's what it was. But very, you know, as opposed to all the men who are all wearing dark clothing. And she just took charge and stuff. You know, she slides the box to him. I thought that was like a nice little touch. Yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting because to me, like, this movie was just it's so dated in a wonderful way. And it like feels so like late 90s, early 2000s to it.
Yeah.
And it's like Helen Hunt is like the example of late 90s, early 2000s too.
Yeah, I guess I can't really think of any Helen Hunt movies that came out after. But Helen Hunt was supposed to be portrayed as a badass bitch.
Yeah.
I think she was able to do that in the beginning. But do you think she exemplified that throughout the rest of the movie?
No, I don't think so, personally. She just lost her believability for me as like a badass bitch, because like I felt that the Mel Gibson character was just like so clearly a disgusting pig that like I would never believe her to fall for any of those lines and to just be like given in by him.
Oh, he's reading her mind, man.
Even like, then it's what he stands for, you know. It's who he was before that. It's everything that's like wrong with men in total and why a woman like that shouldn't like.
But she doesn't know that, right? She only knows the rumors of him. Same thing. He only knows the rumors of her.
True.
You know what I mean? They don't really know each other and they're only learning of each other. He's actually learning the real her, but she's not learning the real him. Right.
Which is even worse.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Like he's a deplorable human being. And absolutely. The worst.
But let's be honest, I mean, we can't pass too much judgment, because if you were given those powers, you'd do the same thing.
Oh, I mean, I don't know if I would use it to like sexploit people, you know what I mean? Like it's that's awful. I wouldn't if I could read people's minds, I'm not going to use it to try to like, you know, get them in bed, because in a way, that isn't that like a form of, it's not rape, but like that's manipulation.
A 100%. Yeah. Oh, no. This movie is like, it's amazing that it's a rom-com, because it's really kind of evil.
And so it's the second one. Mel Gibson is a very, very evil character. Despite all that he learns at the end of it, it's just like he's still a awful human being.
Yeah. And I don't even feel like any of the learning was like justified or really felt. And like, nor did he get what he deserved. Because like at the end of it, and this is kind of my problem with both of them too, is that like they were able to mend things in their life and like their whole world wasn't shattered by their actions and what.
He lost his job.
So?
She fires him.
Okay, he lost his job. But other than that, like, he still has people in his life that were, like, able to forgive him and take him back.
You don't think the daughter should have forgiven him?
No, not at all.
The daughter... No, I think the daughter is probably the only one character that I think the story arc kind of made sense. Because, he was a shithead dad that didn't really... He was never there for her. However... They were able, you know, the movie sets up the situation where they're going to be together like for a week. And in that week, despite the fact that he's reading her mind, they are bonding. And I think, he's not the perfect dad, but like, I think, you know, no, she wasn't the perfect daughter either. She's about to bang an 18-year-old and she's 15.
That was bad. So,
you know, like, and he...
But that was his fault for lack of guidance as a father, too. That's not her fault. She's 15 years old.
But the mom had the custody.
Well, both of the parents' fault, but I'm not going to blame her for it at the same time.
I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just saying.
She was a terrible daughter.
She is.
She's not terrible. She's 15.
All 15-year-olds are terrible. I was a terrible 15-year-old.
Is that they're 15.
Yeah.
They don't know anything.
I know.
They're still learning these things. Like, he should know better.
But he doesn't, and I think... He learns. And I think a lot of the learning that happens after a lot of the relationships he has with her Like, I think the big breakthrough is obviously after he loses his power, right? When he's able to connect with her.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she got turned down by the 18-year-old because she wasn't going to put out.
Yeah.
Right?
Statutory. Yeah.
And he was able to finally have, like, a real open and honest conversation. I thought that was sweet.
Mm.
I didn't care for his storyline with Judy Greer's character, who was about to commit suicide. Yeah, maybe.
That was...
Maybe not.
Yeah.
You know, but... Because I feel like if I was Judy Greer, I'd be terrified. The man just broke into my house.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
It's like, he's going to murder me. And it's Mel Gibson. He looks
murderous. Yeah, he looks like, yeah.
Murderized.
It's like, oh my God, he's got that butter phrase coming at me. I don't know. I feel like this whole movie's kind of weird, though, because here he is, a chauvinistic man. There's no opportunity for growth within his character, like, in terms of non-basic things. It's like the generic story arcs where it's like, oh, you know, and then once he's given this power, he learns how to be a better person and then be more respectful for women. But, like, they give him something really arbitrary and non-existent, like telepathy, in order for him to actually learn how to respect women.
Mm-hmm.
And that's absolutely ridiculous. Because the only thing that he ever had to learn was how to respect other women, essentially. Like, all the women in his life. And the only way, apparently, for a man like that to learn is telepathy. Absolutely outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's a weird film as it is, because like the whole time you're watching it, it's like, I'm not even moved by any of this because it's so false.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I definitely agree with you 100%. Actually, you saying that like kind of brings it into a new light. Not since this is not a movie I ever thought about. You know what I mean? like up until What Women What Men Want coming out this year, I never once thought back to like, oh, that Mel Gibson movie, What Women Want.
Yeah.
Like, what a great movie that is, right? And I rewatching it, though, it was funny. I think for a rom-com, I was like enjoying it.
Okay.
However, when you're putting it into perspective of, yeah, he's a terrible human being, all he learned was how to respect women. That's all he learned.
That's it.
It's just like, damn, it kind of took a lot for him to fucking get that point across.
Yeah, and his world wasn't even completely shattered from, like, he could have learned a lot about himself,
mm-hmm.
you know, which he, like, kind of did, but he didn't really.
Right.
And, like, the problem there, too, is that he has the opportunity to complete, like, realistically speaking, and, like, whatever, it's entertainment, so we shouldn't think too much about it, and I get that and all, but, like with what is presented to me, it's like, oh, he's probably going to repeat this cycle and, like, give him 3 months.
You think so?
Yeah.
So you like, don't he's think it's a happy ending for Helen Hunt?
What?
You don't think it's a happy ending for Helen Hunt?
Oh, no. I hope she fucking wakes up. She looks at him for who he really is, realizes he's ugly, and gets the fuck out. But, yeah. Like, and full of shit.
Yeah.
But it's also just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you like the movie?
You know what it is? I think I would have liked the movie a lot more if it wasn't Mel Gibson in it.
Ugh.
And it's not to do knowing what we know about Mel Gibson now,
because
that has a lot to do with it, me watching it now, but I think even when I was watching it 19 years ago, damn, I can't believe that. I think Mel Gibson is kind of off-putting. Does he do a lot of rom-coms? I don't know much about Mel Gibson outside of the Mad Max series,
yeah.
The Patriot, that movie where like his son gets kidnapped, Collateral? No. Revenge?
No, Collateral's Tom Cruise. That one I don't know. I mean, let's say this too. 19 years ago, it doesn't seem like that long, but it was. And perception of men was completely different.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, apparently 19 years ago, they were dealing with the reckoning that women are going to get their moment. It took them like 18 years, apparently.
Yeah.
but they were right. Yeah. Women were going to get their moment.
But it's just so crazy how like within like a little less than 20 years, the way that we view like what's acceptable for like an attractive man has completely changed radically, yeah. Almost. And I kind of love it,
mm-hmm.
But it's just like, it's also crazy that at once upon a time, like this was sexy and charming.
There was like, it's not to say that I think he's ugly. I just think it's just,
no, I think he definitely comes off as an asshole.
He exudes sexuality. I'll give him that.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like he'd be a good fuck, but other than that, that's it.
Eddie, do you agree or disagree? Because I said that I wasn't feeling Mel Gibson, but you disagreed with me. So Eddie, do you have opinions here?
I mean, I don't know. I think he is good looking. I mean, he just has a certain level of charm. I mean, I'm just not going to focus on his looks, though.
Oh, but we...
Why not? But wait a minute, this movie really is based around sex, though.
Yeah, it is really... Like, the movie is about him objectifying women.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, that scene that they kept going to where he's, like, telling the chubby girl, just like, don't eat that. And, you know, then there's a scene where she's eating, like, rice cakes, and she's just like, fuck you, you're not so fucking handsome. And I'm like, you're right, girl, he's not. Yeah. Who's he to tell you?
Yeah, and but like, the respect, the lack of respect and stuff is because of how he views women in the terms of, like, and what sexuality and all this stuff. And, like, what makes him is his sexuality and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we're actually basing him on believability of that aspect, mm-hmm. which I totally find false. I also don't like how Hollywood... you know, take something as like, oh, this is a fun gimmick. A man can read women's minds and doesn't realize the complexities that it can delve into within that. And it could still be lighthearted and fun, but actually, like, address what it would be for, like, a man to know what it goes on inside women's heads. Mm-hmm. And they completely miss the mark. And it's whatever. The film is what it is.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not even, it's like a half-assed attempt.
I agree with you. I mean, it's not like some highbrow thinking about, like, what do women really want, right?
Yeah. It doesn't even question, like, the, like, gender roles and norms and, like, stuff. Like, it doesn't... I mean, the way he becomes that way, like, he gets it when he gets electrocuted from shaving his legs, that alone right there was so absurd. And, like, this is how... Really? Like, this is supposed to be charming and funny? This is his approach?
That scene was very slapstick.
Getting drunk to Sinatra? But it was, like... I was watching this, like... Am I supposed to be laughing out loud?
I actually laugh a lot at Frank Sinatra stuff. Is Frank Sinatra just music that machismo men listen to?
I guess what's the word?
Oh, shoot. The M. Not masochist. Not masochistic. Misogynist.
Misogynist,
yeah. I mean, remember, we saw what was that movie with Frank Sinatra?
Oceans.
Oceans, right? Yeah. The Oceans movie and, like, how sexist Frank Sinatra is. So maybe... maybe Frank Sinatra is, like, coded language for sexism.
Maybe. It probably... well, it's also that 1950s male kind of... before, like, you know, Brando, James Dean, Elvis Presley, like, broke down what it was to, like, be a man and mm-hmm. allow vulnerability and all these other flaws. Like, men were just like, hey, baby. Like, snapping their mm-hmm. fingers. And, like, yeah, women were objectified and, like, kind of like, you know, you'd love it.
Yeah. I kept wondering every time they kept bringing up... because Sinatra shows up a lot. Because yeah. even Helen Hunt's character is a fan of Sinatra. And again, not my thing.
Not mine either.
I'm not trying to woo people like listening to Sinatra. It's like, hey, Sinatra.
It shows how dated that is, too.
I guess 19 years ago was cool.
Yeah.
19 years later is kind of not.
I do think it's interesting, though, how this was a film directed by a woman about a man who finds out what women want. Mm-hmm. And did you know that funny thing is that this new film is directed by a man about a woman knowing what men want.
Is he gay?
He's gay.
Oh, good. Well, yeah. That kind of gives, you know, that's actually harks back a little bit to that joke in with Marissa Tomei, right? When, like, she has that earth-shattering sex with Mel Gibson, and then she accuses him of being gay, right? Why haven't you called back in a week? Oh, my yeah. God, you're gay, right? You knew so much about the... complexities of women. You must be gay.
Yeah.
First of all, what a fucking dated joke that is.
Yeah, seriously.
Because I am gay and I have no idea how to fucking talk to women. Eddie could attest to this. We were at a wedding one time and, like, there were, like, a row of women crying to him about, like, what a terrible human being I was to them.
What?
Yeah.
What? What did you do to them?
Apparently psychologically tortured them.
Well, that I believe, actually.
But literally there was, like, it was just a line of them just waiting to share. It's just like, oh, this one, you should be warned.
And this is what sent me into therapy. Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's definitely a dated joke. I mean, there's so many, like, weird dated jokes that you feel like, was this really 20 years ago? Because, oh my God, this thinking seems
less than 20.
Yeah, less than fucking 20. Like, it seems so ancient almost, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
But with that, should we just kind of, like, jump into the new one?
Let's jump right into the new one. Sorry, Taraji P. Henderson.
Taraji P. Henson.
Oh, Henson?
Yeah.
Oops.
Oh my God. I can only hear men's thoughts.
That cloud you're walking through, that's my farts.
Yeah.
There was a psychic. She gave me this tea.
And you drank it?
She said to.
I thought black people stopped drinking tea after Get Out.
But what Men Want came out February 2019?
Yeah, it came out this year. I think it was, like, released in time for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Because it was a rom-com.
Yeah.
I don't know. Would you have it as a rom-com? I guess.
Kind of.
It's a comedy.
Yeah,
it's pretty raunchy.
It's got its, yeah, it is. It's got its romantic moments in it. So I guess it's a rom-com, but it's certainly a comedy.
It is definitely a comedy. I think it falls, I guess it falls into rom-com because of her relationship with the other male character.
Yes. Wait, man, what other, there's a lot of other male characters.
Her love interest.
Oh.
Yeah.
That beautiful man.
He was gorgeous. So what's his gorgeous. Name?
Aldous Hodge.
Aldous?
Like, Aldous Hodge.
Like Huck, nah, like, yeah, like Huxley?
Yeah, but with an I, Dumbledore? Not O-U. So A-L-D-I-S.
Oh.
Aldous Hodge.
Maybe Aldi?
Like, but the, there's an S at the end.
I know. It could be like French inspired, like Aldi.
Oh, like could be. Oh my gosh, I'm not sure. I wish I knew.
Oh, you're, see, this is racism showing. Because you assume because he's black, it can't be like a French pronunciation.
Oh my god, stop throwing shade, you bitch. Throwing me under the bus. Okay, well, his name is, you know, A-L-D-I-S Hodge. He was also in Hidden Figures and Straight Outta Compton.
Oh, he was in Hidden Figures? Who's he in Hidden Figures? I loved Hidden Figures. And she was in that one, too.
She was. Taraji, he was P. Levi Henson. Jackson.
I love Taraji P. Henson in this one.
Yeah.
She blew it out of the park in Hidden Figures. And nice. I mean, that's kind of, she's had such star power. And I'm so glad she's starting to get like her own movies where she's kind of calling the shots.
We're good.
She's getting her own movies where she's calling, not calling the shots, but she's like the front figure.
She's leading a movie. Yeah.
She's a leading girl. And I think she knocked it out of the park in this film. Despite its flaws, I think she was very captivating, and I enjoyed the movie much more so because of her. Where as opposed to What Women Want, Mel Gibson was a turn off.
Yeah.
Here I was in it because Taraji P. Henson is just so captivating.
That's true. Yeah. So it's interesting because we're in an age right now where we're not only getting remakes and reboots, but they're doing gender reversals of them and even race reversals. So this is the third one we've done where they did that. We did Ghostbusters when they reversed with an all-female cast, and then Ocean's 8 with an all-female cast. And now here we go with What Men Want.
What Men Want.
And we're just going to get more. And it's definitely this new trend that people want to see. And yet Hollywood's doing these things, but they're not exploring why it's interesting to have these roles reversed.
Well,
and that's how I'm just going to begin it. But let's set up, I guess, a little bit of What Men Want.
Go.
So in this one, instead of being an advertisement, it's agents. They're particularly in sports agents. She is the only woman, let alone black woman, in a world full of white men for the most part. Predominantly white men.
I think there were...
There were other black men, but like the most powerful people, there were. And the people who had a voice in this film were white men. So they really, right there, they set up this really interesting dynamic.
In Atlanta, no less.
In Atlanta, Georgia. In
Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah. And she's just always had to be one of the boys. Mm-hmm. She's a male-dominated thing. And so she is, I don't know, she's kind of self-absorbed.
Yeah.
We get that. She's kind of like in her own universe. And she kind of like comes out guns blazing all the time. And that's how they set her up.
Right.
And so her, the way that she hears these things is that she gets a visit by a psychic, gives her this weird tea that had some like ecstasy and all this stuff in it, then hits her head and then can hear men's thoughts.
Yes.
And she executes it for her very own powers, like for evil, and she decides to use it for her own selfish whims, learns a shitload of stuff, and then by the time she's lost a lot of things in her life. So it's practically, in that way, it's very similar to What Women Want.
Yeah. She uses mind reading to like get ahead in her career.
Yes.
And then at the same time realizes the errors of her way.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Mel Gibson had to do the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, they all realize the error of their ways, but they still like get what they want at the end. Which when your life is turned upside down, but then you kind of like it's turned back up without you having to really do anything about it. Do you really ever learn anything?
So, all right. So let's get right into this then. What's it called? I think more so Mel Gibson's was definitely problematic there because there weren't many consequences, right? Like, I don't know if he really, I say he got fired. That was like at the end, she says like, I had to fire you, but then they make out. So yeah. I don't know how much that firing, I don't know if those were just words or if that's going to be any action there.
Yeah.
In this case, she kind of gets what she wants, but at the same time, she realizes it's just like, you know what? Fucking, I'm going to make the stuff that I want. She starts her own company, right?
Yeah.
That's like kind of her end thing. So I think there's, in this story, the way in which she goes about it, there's still much more suffering to be had, because starting your own company isn't like something that just happens overnight. Yeah, she has all these clients and stuff, but like, there's still fucking headaches to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to work at it. And I think that's the implication, that she realized that getting the coveted part of partners at this firm, that's not what she wants. She's way above that. And she wants her own company. So I think she works. I think she gets to her happy ending, but like, it's not going to be easy, I say.
Right. And then, but that's one aspect, you know, she essentially uses this man, Will, this really good, like, likes her. Like, when she reads his mind, he's like really actually thinking really pure thoughts about her. Good. He's almost too good.
Yeah, he's like a fairy tale.
Yeah. He's unreal in a lot of ways. But she actually treats him like complete and utter garbage, like completely disrespects him and his child.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes her back.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
you should never do that, by the way. First of all, he showed her how much he doesn't respect himself nor his son. And, like, how she can pretty much walk all over them in the future.
Yeah, but I think I agree with you. I think if I were in his situation, I probably wouldn't take her back. Mm-hmm. However, I'd also be looking at it as, like, girlfriend's making money, so I'm willing to give her a second chance, or a third chance even.
Oh, so you're just pretty much saying you're shallow as hell.
I guess so.
Girlfriend's making money, so.
Girlfriend's about to start her own company with this coveted basketball player. So I'm going to, because he wants to start a business, right? So he needs some startup money.
No, and he wants to go back in that skybox.
Yeah, she's going to provide, all right?
Yeah.
She will.
Will financially.
It's in his and his son's best interest to stick it out.
This is why these two movies are really good as, like, basic Hollywood stuff, because mm-hmm. they're caught up in those things, the shallow things, the materialistic things. But the reality is, and whatever, these films don't really have time for reality. I mm-hmm. get that. But at the same time, it's like, she is a terrible person. She needs to be reprimanded, and really, like, she needs to hit rock bottom in order to climb herself up. And, like, Will forgiving her doesn't do her any justice, and it does not do him any justice.
So what do you think makes her such a terrible person?
Like, she has a total disregard for other people and their emotions and how she affects them.
Most powerful white men in the Forbes 500 have the same attitude.
That's great about them, but we're focusing on her.
I know, and I just want to say.
So it should be excused for her because she's a woman?
Because she's a black woman. And, like, she needs to try to get...
But, you know, it's so interesting.
She has to be this way.
Because this film doesn't even really address that.
I think...
You realize that, too, right? This film has no time for the fact that she's a black woman in a white man universe. They had so many opportunities to address that and to defend her, and it didn't. So they just address her as a person. So if I'm going to judge her on the basis of how the movie presents her, she's just a person.
So I actually took more issue... not with the way she was portrayed. Mm-hmm. I took issue with the way they portrayed that as kind of being bad. Like, I don't think there's any, like, oh, I think one of the scenes where the way she has sex, for example, in which she's in control, like, they kind of made it seem as just like, oh, these women are flawed. These women are bad women. Mm-hmm. And I think that's wrong. Like, being a go-getter, because that's what she is. She's just, she has a very masculine attitude, but that doesn't make her a bad guy. I don't think her wanting to get ahead and doing all the shit that white men do to get ahead.
But I'm not talking about her ambition. I'm talking about her lack of respect and, like, sympathy and emotion for anybody but herself, and the way that she treats and affects other people, particularly this guy, Will, and his son.
Because, like, that's...
And how she used them.
All right. Yeah. I do want to get back to that, because I take issue with kind of... I don't know if what she did was that wrong. I think maybe how she went about it was wrong. She should have told him from the get-go. It's just like, hey, by the way, like, he thinks we're family, so can you just play along?
No, for sure. Oh,
and
yeah, she definitely should have done that.
And he'll be okay with it, right?
Yeah, but she didn't do that, which...
She should have.
Yeah.
That's called a lack of oversight there. I wouldn't say that's...
Well, that's really nice of you. You can't... I mean, think of the trauma that could fucking cause you if that was you.
Oh, the kid?
No, you, Will. As a grown-ass adult with a child to protect.
Will be marrying some money. I don't understand.
Oh, my God. That's shallow. Stop. Stop being so shallow. So your heart wouldn't be broken if you're like, well, her net worth is like $2 million.
What part would I be broken in? Like, what is so offensive?
She didn't really love you. that everything you would have to look back on it and be like, this was all a lie.
There's no love there.
What? They learned to, they were building a real relationship, even though she was manipulating him. I think you can still build a relationship.
I don't, what, so what was the upsetting part? The fact that he had to, the fact that like, she was pretending to
you're
others.
Not, wait a minute. Now you're even saying what was the upsetting part? So there was even nothing wrong with what she did?
I think her attitude, her actions of like, who was being hurt really? I guess, yeah. Who was being hurt? Because...
Listen, Mr. I don't even like cheaters. You're not like liars either and people who use and abuse you? Because that is exactly what she did.
The lying here wasn't towards... She wasn't lying to Will and the kid. Well, she was lying to the client so that way she can get ahead.
She was lying to all of them. You don't just like in cheating, you don't just cheat on your wife. You cheat on your wife and your mistress. You're cheating on two people. Lying goes all around.
I just think she just went about it wrong. I think she should have kept lying. And just she should have told Will. It's just like, Will, I'm using you as a prop. But you know what? These feelings I'm developing for you, still real.
That's great of the things that she should have done. But that's not who she was because she's a self-absorbed person who doesn't care about anybody's emotions but her own. Her friends knew that. She ruined her friend's wedding day for the greater good and all this. But like, she still did it out of concern for herself and for the drama.
Her husband,
which
her would-be
husband
would was a scoundrel.
Yeah, and that's also when I was like, oh, this is so great. Like, this is when I love, like, films that aren't about white people just because of, like, how fun, like, those and, like, intense those dramatic emotions get. Like, that's always fun. But anyway, going back to, though, the dynamics about her being a black woman, you're like, you know, what's wrong with that? Because she has ambition. Like, they don't properly address that. You fucking change this movie to a black woman hearing men's thought in a predominantly white man world, and you don't explore that. And you make it more about this person who just needs to learn how to, like, be more accepting of who she is or something. Like, I don't even know what she was supposed to learn at the end. Oh, I mean, other than, like, a less self-absorbed person.
I think.
Which she kind of learned.
Ooh, what? Actually, I'll give you that. I don't know what the hell she learned.
She didn't learn anything. And she has the power and like
she learned
people
what men
to
want.
Support her.
They said that so many times in this movie.
She's starting her own business. So in a way, she's going to be thriving soon. She's going to make the things that she wants. She has Will to fuck her every night. Like, she's winning. She doesn't have to learn a goddamn thing.
She had to learn how to... I don't know. You're right.
She didn't really learn anything. And, you know, they set up this thing where somebody voted against her to not get...
Named
a partner in this agency, and they set up her boss as like this weird like white tyrant that there could be so much conflict with, and that does not deliver. And I was so devastated that they didn't explore that.
Did we watch the same movie? They delivered. They didn't.
Was like, the time's up, people are gonna be on my ass if I fire you.
Oh, not. But then he also said because she's also black.
But that was the only scene. And then we don't see it again.
You're right. The
And who was the one who voted for her? I was anticipating that would be him, but they didn't do that. And that's like, it's almost like they set it up for it to be him. And they must have either deleted that scene or just forgotten about that was like something that they were building up for. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, this is going to be great. Like, really talk about what it's like to be not only a woman in the white workforce, but a black woman. And they fucking failed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fine. I agree with you. I think there were a lot of shortcomings. I took more issue with the fact that they kind of were portraying Taraji P. Henson's like attitude as the problem. Like, I just don't think like her wanting to get ahead, it makes her a bad guy. I feel that's more so what the movie was saying, that like
women shouldn't be so ambitious.
Yeah,
or
women shouldn't want to try to be on top, like in the sexual way or in the job place way.
Yeah, no, that's, and remember that one scene about the guy in the elevator, and then like we meet him once
Captain
before.
Captain Fucktastic.
We see him again.
Kellen Lutz, by the way.
I remember him from Twilight. But like, she jumps his bones and all this stuff, and then they go back to have sex with him, and it's gonna be like this great empowering moment. He's like into S&M and like hardcore.
He was
like BDSM.
He was on a swing and like in like a jock strap.
Yeah. She freaks out, she leaves, and then that's it. And then it like doesn't even explore. So like there's like all these opportunities for like growth within her character, or like exploration about like gender swapping roles and all this stuff, and like, and they just completely like, I don't even know what the purpose of that scene was.
It was just raunchy, it was just gaggy.
It was stupid.
I think personally, if it's Kellen Lutz, like, come on, you just jump on it. It is. He's on a swing. He's ready.
Yeah,
he's good to go. Taraji, get yours.
Seriously. Yeah. But I mean, I thought it was, I was just disappointed because, I mean, both of these films take really complex things and they really dumb them down and they make it seem like it's almost like very a basic thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like also like how, I'm really intrigued as to like how these powers work. Like, how close do I have to be to you in order to hear your thoughts? Because sometimes you can either be like across the street and I'll hear you, or sometimes I have to be like really close to you.
Oh, you're really thinking deep.
I'm like, but it's interesting because like there's so many different things, like in True Blood when Sookie and like the Buffy episode too. It's like how they explore like the trauma of hearing people's thoughts and stuff. But these two movies presented as such lightheartedness and fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just go and win poker games. But, the missed opportunities for exploration of, if you're going to gender swamp this and make it about a black woman hearing men's thoughts, like, just at least like address some race, class, sex, gender issues. But you don't. It didn't. It just made her into a flawed person.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, this is actually a movie where it doesn't benefit for her to like, we don't see sex and race here. We just see people. Like, no, actually, this is the movie where you're supposed to see those things.
At least definitely sex.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I think her identity as a black woman in a world really dominated by white men is very important to address.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's funny because I think Taraji P. Henson and a lot of her roles, that comes up a lot.
Yeah.
Like, we were talking about Hidden Figures, that mm-hmm. one. Her role in Empire is another important one where like race and sex come into play. Mm-hmm. So you're right. As I'm thinking about this more and more, I think you're right. The movie does let down in trying to deliver, I guess, what we should, I don't know, not what men want, what we think women should know, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't, it's just overall, it's not good.
Yeah. I personally enjoyed the movie. I thought it was cute.
It was okay. It could have been better a lot, but of course, whatever.
Like I said, Taraji P carried that movie, but I think the movie did some more interesting things outside of just the main storyline. So, what do you think about her gay assistant?
Another one who she treated him like absolute shit, and all she had to do was like give him a job, and like all was forgiven. And
well,
it's
a job, man.
Well, I mean, like, it also at a startup company that, like, true. Yeah, but
at a future thriving company,
yeah, potentially for her, maybe not even him, but like,
yeah, was completely, give him all the shit clients.
Yeah, he was walked on and abused, and like almost to the point where like the way that she handled him could be potentially traumatizing, and yet she gets away with it and all is forgiven.
But
and
she hooks him up with Pete Davidson.
Okay, so
he has like a 10-inch penis, apparently, according to like the rumors on the internet. And Ariana Grande.
I mean, I think that doesn't mean anything. It's still like her relationship dynamic with him, you know. It just shows also like, you know what? I'm glad you give me a portrait of a flawed person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you're portraying her as just like someone who kind of needs to like come to grips with herself. But like the way that they portray her is almost a little too unforgiving.
Yes.
But then the fact that she is forgiven is problematic.
Yes, I agree with you. I think the way they portrayed her was way unforgiving. I just, like I said, that's why I was not comfortable with the tone as the movie was going. Like, it's making her a bad guy. She's like, I don't know if like this kind of person is that unforgiving. Yeah. But they were really trying to beat it over my head that she is a bad person.
They were.
And
yeah.
I just don't know if, we're agreeing, but disagreeing on different things.
Yeah.
You think like she is a bad person. I think that she's not that bad of a person. They were just really making her out to be a bad person.
I think emotionally she's a terrible person, but I don't blame her for ambition. Mm-hmm. I think that's great. And like, you're right, she is supposed to be that way, but she doesn't have to be like a shit person and treat the people in her life that are close to her like complete garbage.
Okay.
Be ruthless in your job. That's great. Treat the people in your life that you supposedly love with respect. Simple.
It all comes down to that beautiful, handsome man that she just abused.
Oh,
by the way, how does he afford that beautiful house on a bartender salary?
Yeah, well, it's Atlanta.
Is that the excuse?
We wouldn't know. We live in the outskirts of New York City. We could barely afford a kitchen. But
she had, like this gorgeous, and her loft. I loved her loft.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Like hers home. Was ridiculous. Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting because, like, what women want, with Mel Gibson, a white man, and like with power, hearing other women's thoughts, predominantly white people,
mm-hmm.
like you get what you get with that. You know, you know, it's just like white people bullshit. I expected more from what men want. That's why I'm almost like being a little harsher on it.
Wait, why?
Because
I'm curious as to why. Because like I expected nothing. Actually, I think I got exactly what I expected from this movie.
That's interesting because other than disappointment with how they portrayed a woman with ambition.
I think I got like what I knew I was going in there for. It was a lot raunchier than I thought it was going to be. But for the most part, I wasn't expecting like this deep philosophical idea of like, what do men want?
But you know what? I'm not even looking for deep and philosophical. You're going to gender swamp it on me. You're going to race swamp it on me. I want you to address some of those complexities that need to be addressed in the 2019 landscape. And you didn't. You took the easy way out. And that's why I'm disappointed. I get it. A Mel Gibson-led movie is not going to get me into that shit. But a Taraji P. Henson movie-led, it might be a little bit more like bold and daring in the social commentaries it might make.
Nah.
It didn't.
Fair. That's fair. I have no counter argument, to be quite honest. I went expecting one thing. It's kind of what I got. I wasn't happy with certain things, mostly like just the portrayal of like women in general.
Yeah.
But it was a cute movie.
It has the unfortunate thing where it's like what women want comes out in the middle of summer, I'm sure. You know, a black woman-led film with a predominantly black cast comes out in February. Mm. It's like only promoted as a Valentine's Day thing. Mm. Like it's even in the way like the way that they're saying like, oh, people aren't going to watch this movie. It is what it is. It's just some stupid black rom-com. Mm. It's like actually promote the shit out of like the fact that we're going to get better represented rom-coms and that this is something that might actually have something to say. But no, even Hollywood doesn't think highly of this film.
Mm. I can't answer. I have no response to that because I think you're right, actually. That's actually why. It was mostly a black cast and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's so funny. And yet some of the funnier lines, I think, came from the white woman, her friend.
Oh, yeah. She was funny. She's a brilliant, a brilliant improvisational actress.
Is she?
Yeah, she's in Bridesmaid. She was in Reno 911. That's Wendy McLovin, Clovey, I think.
Gotcha.
Yeah, she's funny.
So. Yeah, she was great. We kind of figured out what men we didn't figure out what men want or what women want, right?
Yeah.
But they've attempted. Do you see a future where they're going to try to make other movies, like a spinoff series, where they're going to try to do like what Hispanics want or what gays want? Maybe what gays want sounds offensive, but like what do gay men want? That's it. What gay men want?
I don't know. That's really hard because there's possibility of marginalization happening there.
But isn't there already marginalization happening, especially with this film?
It definitely is, but like even further, because it's like you're not just saying like, all right, well, this is what all women want and women of different, you know, women's complexities and what they want vary from vary to vary. So it's like you could really make a piece based on stereotypes and assumptions when it's really specific to Hispanics or gay people.
But if you do it right, don't you think you could do this film possibly better?
But how can you do something like telepathy right?
I mean,
how do you research that?
It's weird, right? Because like men and women are so it's already gendered and split up.
Yeah.
But then does that leave room for doing a like what transsexuals want?
I don't know. Yeah, what? I think that's tricky too, because especially like I was just talking to someone today, like representation of Hispanics is like really, we're underrepresented.
Oh, it's so funny because I've seen so much with Hispanics as of late.
We're getting there.
I feel like we're overrepresented.
No.
I disagree completely.
Okay, stop right there.
Don't even.
Stop.
All right? That was a joke. That was called ridiculosity.
That's what it's called. And the only reason you start seeing a lot of the stuff is because I dig for representation for stuff that.
Yeah, because he's so fucking desperate for it that he goes out of his way to find it.
All right, hang on. I'm not trying to argue with you guys, but right now Roswell, Charmed, One Day at a Time, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Compared to all the things that you've seen in your life that just had white people, though.
Oh, but yeah, I guess I'm talking about like right now, this time period.
I guess, yeah, because now you're just like, they're over making up for it.
What did you do? You say Charmed, Roswell. What else?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, One Day at a Time.
So three out of the four. Are reboots of
that is predominantly white. That's a really good point. Wow.
So once again, it is more to Nicole's point. These are shows that not only are rebooting with the casts with ethnic backgrounds, but they're also touching base on how these individuals are reacting to their situation through their culture, mm-hmm. too. and also through of what it is to be a woman, mm-hmm. you know, in yeah. this time period or in this situation, or what it is to be a man,
yeah,
too, in this situation.
Okay. Yeah. So you're saying there's better stuff out there.
Well, it's getting there. But what? Yeah, is getting there. Yeah, it's getting there little by little. But look how long it took.
Exactly.
Look how long it took. And
you personally might feel like there's a lot to it, but like actually, like compared to the amount of white counterparts, mm-hmm. it's not a lot. And like the fact that you're seeing a lot of it is a very good thing. So stop complaining, bitch.
I wasn't complaining.
It's almost too represented. But here, to answer your question, I do want to say that because of the still underrepresentation of uh-huh. like, say, let's focus on like if it were to be like what Hispanics think or want.
You gotta, if you wanna make it a remake, you gotta like stick to it.
Okay. What Hispanics want. If that were to occur good with the lack job, of representation right now.
Trump out of office.
Think about how stereotypical, how isolating that could be though.
Uh-huh.
Like how inaccurate it could be. Like it could be really great, but I actually kinda don't seeing it being that way based on the two films that we just discussed too, mm-hmm. because of the fact that like you're going to assume that all Hispanics either want or think the same way, and then we're all going to come off a certain way, just like how, to use an example that I'm not saying my own opinion on, but how a lot of people feel about Sofia Vergara, because of how it's like, you know, not all, like you're portraying Spanish people, yes, like women are hot-tempered in this way, but like at the same time you're giving off a really bad impression that's causing this brand new stereotype.
Okay. Yeah. I get you. I feel you. I agree. Even if it's done by a Hispanic writer and a Hispanic cast and a Hispanic
director. It still leaves room for marginalization.
Yeah. I guess it's maybe that's why only men and women get these movies, because mm-hmm. they're binaries. And mm-hmm. in theory, you can always just work off of like the opposite of the other binary, right?
Exactly.
I hope that's made sense. That Did that sound smart? Sense. I don't think it did, but...
No, I appreciate it.
Pew, lightning round.
Are you ready for a lightning round?
Let's do it.
So, we're going to do Taraji P. Henson versus Mel Gibson.
In terms of who I want to see the film, like, I want to see the Taraji P. Henson. I'll rewatch it.
Uh-huh.
What I expected more, you know, was from Taraji. I didn't deliver. You know, I got exactly what I kind of expected from Mel Gibson. But overall, like, as a person, I wouldn't want to hang out with either of them. But I'm going to hang out with Taraji.
Oh, really?
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm voting for Taraji P. Henson.
Yeah.
It's so funny because we saw the movie together.
Yeah.
And the very opening scenes, I was just like, ugh, I want her life. Yeah. Like, this is what I want. I want an assistant to berate. I want to live in like a loft to mm-hmm. have my gym in like, you know, the first floor.
Be too busy to care about other people's emotions.
Be too busy to care about my friend's fucking bachelor parties. You know what I mean? Like, this is the life I desire.
Yeah, like this guy even like answers her like simple texts mm-hmm. for her. Like,
it's pretty, so Taraji P for me.
Okay.
Mel Gibson didn't have, no, he had assistants. You know what?
Yeah, the two
but
women.
He should have walked over them more.
Yeah.
So shame on him for not doing that.
Okay, so love interest wise, Helen Hunt or Will?
Oh, that's a good one. I think I'm going to go with Will. Despite the fact that I think he was just cartoonishly fake. He was like a Prince Charming. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there was no flaw to him physically or character developmentally.
Okay. As a character, I will pick Helen Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love me a powerful woman, and I love someone who can like put an asshole in check and all this stuff.
But she only put him in check once.
Yeah, but still, like, it just everything she resembles, she seems more realistic than Will. I agree with everything you said about Will.
She's way more realistic.
But if he were a real person and people like this do exist in, and like, and he's very attractive, you know.
Objectified the shit out of him.
They did, yeah.
Like, I think this is like the message that both these movies are trying to like avoid, and yet here we are objectifying everyone.
Yeah.
We have to objectify Taraji P. Henson because she's a gorgeous woman, but like she has a screen presence, right?
She does, yeah.
And she doesn't need, like, we know we're objectifying her. So yeah. All right, well, that's it. Did you learn what women want?
All right, well, hold on. Can you hear my thoughts?
Can I?
Yeah.
You want to get this over with.
Pretty much. Yeah. Let's wrap this shit up. Yeah. So as usual, guys, you know, we can't hear your thoughts. So the only way you could share your thoughts with us is if you send us an email at remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com, or you hit us up on Instagram. Where can they hit us up on Instagram, Orlando?
Instagram is remakesrebootsrevivals. And you can also find us on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We are Remakes, Reboots, and revivals.
And please share your thoughts. Write us a review on iTunes. Write a complaint if you want personally to the Gmail. Don't write it on iTunes. But like, share your thoughts with us, guys. We're not mind readers.
Yeah. I wish I was.
I don't. These movies do not.
Oh, I would take over the world.
I won't learn anything. It won't make me a better person.
Advice.
Well, this is what we've learned from these two movies. So, but yeah. Good times. So until next time,
stay unoriginal.